All right, I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me where we were last week. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. If I'm not mistaken, Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. Also, take out your document. Turn to page 5. Our document here is, everybody repeat after me, scripture comprehensions of measures.
Scriptural comprehensions of measures.
The matrix. The matrix. Say it again, the matrix.
The matrix.
Amen. Now, we are not going to be diffident about what we are ministering here. You're not going to hesitate in conveying the message of what is actually the contents of the passages that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church. For we are not going to be drawn into those that whose focus is mainly matrix viewing, a world viewing, looking at things, and even assessing God.
Yes, yes.
Even assessing God. Mm-hmm. They even assess God on the basis of what we see. This world and this earth and this life is more than what we construe it to be. Your life is about Christ. Remember what we were conveying, what the scripture was conveying in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Remember that all creation is what? In him, what? Through him, and what?
For him.
Let's say that again. In him, through him, and for him. So life is not about us. Your life is not about you. Your life is about him. My life is not about me. In Sunday school this morning, we were dealing with bringing out that it's actually about purpose. And what had messed them up that were being addressed was they were looking at procedures instead of purpose.
Yes, yes.
Don't look at processes of life.
Right. Amen.
And forget the purpose of life.
Uh-huh.
The purpose of life is what guides the process.
Oh, yes. Come on.
It's about what it is for rather than what it depicts. Or what it looks like, or what it seems like. It is about what it is for.
That's it.
You're on this earth just a short time.
Short.
We're going to have a homegoing here Friday for someone that lived 92 years. You might say, wow, well, in comparison, that's a long time. What's that? 90 times, some of you mathematicians, 90 times 12 is what? That's 18, so that's what, huh? That's 90 times 12 is what? 9 times 12 is 108, right? So that's 1,080. Now you got to add 24 to that. So 1,080 plus 24 is what? 2,000. That's a person that lived 2,004 months. Right? No? 12 months times 90 years. Right? 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 So what else a long time? In comparison to what?
That's right. That's right. That's right.
In comparison to forever,
no comparison.
That's like a drop in the ocean.
Ocean.
In comparison. That's nothing. In comparison to it forever. And the question is, why were we put here? You're born, you grow up in your parents' household, and of course you don't even have any sense so as to who you're born to.
None.
And you grow up in the household, and then you hopefully finish school and you get a job or profession, and then you get married. Hopefully they do it in that order. Mm-hmm. And then you have children. Mm-hmm. And then one day you look up and those children are grown.
That's right.
And they've got children. I've experienced that. I've got grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And if the Lord causes me to stick around to our 90, and I'm not saying that he is, mm-hmm. I will have great grandchildren. And then maybe even great-great-grandchildren. But sooner, more than later, it's checkout time.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Yeah.
Then what has your life been about?
Amen. Oh.
What is this phenomenon called life? That the scriptures said, man is born of woman is what? And what? Full of troubles. If that's all it is, it's a cruel joke.
Mm-hmm. Come on, come on.
Let's look at the Apostle Paul. Mm-hmm. He started out really on the ball. He sat under the feet of Gamaliel, however you want to pronounce that name. And he had risen up into the ranks. Then one day he was on his way somewhere and the Lord knocked him off of the beast he was riding on and changed his life. And all the money that Paul had, he lost it. He lost his money. He lost his health. And then as he writes about it later, he said it wasn't a fair exchange for what I gained. In other words, what I gain is so valuable, what I lost is nothing. In fact, he equates it to dung. You know, I don't have to get graphic. You know what dung is. In comparison to what he gained. The excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And then when he got in trouble, they imprisoned him and somebody raised the bail. They took the bail and still kept him in jail. And eventually, they executed him. Yeah, they chopped his head off. And if some would look at Paul's life and call him a colossal failure, he and his ministry. But he said, my life is Christ. And Paul has been gone, what, over 2,000 years. And the gospel of the grace of God is alive and well. So the ministry is about the message. Everybody said the ministry is about the message. The message is the gospel of the grace of God. Now let's look into that passage this morning. Long preamble. We were there last week as we looked into page 6 and 5, rather. And I'm not, again, I said this, and of course for those that are watching, we're not trying to cover no certain amount of material. The venture here is to impart spiritual comprehension. Everybody says spiritual comprehension. Knowledge. Uh-huh. That you can see the world through the eyes of what God has outlaid from the vertical viewpoint. In other words, this is about looking down on life instead of around in life. Vertical scripture viewing, which is spiritual. All right, Brother Deacon, why don't you start in verse 12 and then 13. You can do it to King James, and then we'll go to the Greek.
We're reading from the book of 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, beginning verse 12, King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
For we dare not...
Everybody got it? Say amen.
For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is Paul saying? He's saying when you're out there and you are assessing things in life based upon the things that are around you, and your evaluation of what life it is about are the things in physicality, the things that are around you. Your job, your personal relationships, these things have their place. But he is saying, if this is the only assessment you have, what's that last statement?
You're not wise.
Not wise.
Amen. Yes.
And this is why in 2 Corinthians 4:18, what does Paul say? He writes, he said, we're not looking what? We're not looking at the things that are being seen. We're not looking at what we see. So we're looking at what?
The things not being seen.
The thing that we don't know. What he's saying, the things that are physically seen are not the things that we're prioritizing. We're not counting on them.
That's right. Come on.
We're not looking at these things to float our boat.
Oh, Jesus.
And this is why the stock market and all of that's not your salvation. The institutions, not your salvation.
Oh.
And then in verse 13, read.
But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you.
All right, now, here, let's go to the Greek here again. Go to the Greek text, to the Greek interlineal, to get greater insight of what is being conveyed. All right, read that.
2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, interlineal Greek text. Not for we dare to class with or to compare ourselves with some of the themselves or the ones themselves commending, but they among themselves measuring and comparing themselves with themselves, not do understand.
Okay, we've explained that. Let's go to verse 13.
But we not immeasurably will boast.
Stop. Now I'm going to get into some exegesis and say, Pastor White, listen, just listen. There's something out there waiting on you to just mess up your day.
Hallelujah.
To mess up your day today. It won't even wait till tomorrow. There's something out there waiting to blow your mind. Confuse you. Frustrate you. And verse 12 says, these are not the things we should be assessing and evaluating in essence of what our lives are. And if you do that, you're not wise.
You're not wise.
Number. Yes.
Now, I know that run paradoxical to what even men of the ministry minister, and absolutely what the world teaches. But do we go with what conventionalism and traditionalism and orthodoxy aver, or do we go with what we got here before us? And this is why we stop, take our time, break it down.
Amen.
Yes. So that you have a real evaluation of life. Your life is about Christ. Here, this reads, Imisfe uk is ta amatra kafkis ometa. This is translated, and we not in unmeasured things boast. Paul, what are you talking about? We don't take pride, or we can't take pride. We can. What are the unmeasurable things? The things that are beyond the matrix.
Yes.
The eternal things. And most people don't want to deal with that because you can't boast in it. That's why matrix viewing is so alluringly attractive to the depraved nature.
Right.
This is why materialism stands before us and it draws us like a magnet.
Like a magnet.
This is why the secular things of the world are the things that hold our attention rather than the spiritual things. Now notice, this verse starts out with a super unconjunction there rendered and. Or you can say but. But it's a strong and. What Paul was saying in verse 12 is that don't look around and compare yourself with those things that are around you and get all enamored with them. If you do, you're unwise. And then as he starts this verse, he says, and. Which means that what he's basically, what basically follows here is that the real things that are unmeasured, we can't boast in them. In relationship to, in verse 12,
amen,
don't do that. And here he starts out by saying, you can't do this. If it's something you can boast and brag in, this is not about anything. Many people don't like grace teaching because in grace, God is everything, and we're what? We're nothing. Yet, in Christ, we're everything. Notice here you have structured here grammatically two superordinate conjunctions. The second phrase there starts with the superordinate conjunction Allah. But first he says and, which attaches that and dominates verse 12. Now he moves into the meat of verse 13. And he says, but. Read that, Brother Deacon. Everybody, are you with me? Are you with me? Oh, my God.
Oh.
I'll go over it again. We've got to understand these things.
Yes.
But
we not immeasurably will boast.
All right.
But according to the measure of the rule which divided to us God of measure.
Stop. Here, it is according to the measure that is limited upon it, a sign. What? By God. Notice here, we have it now here, kanunos. It is in the genitive case. It's translated here, limited. A limited sphere, a limited error.
Yes.
Now take your document and look at the picture again, and we go back over this. I don't care how many times I go back over this. Look in the front. At the top, it says matrix viewing. Everybody say matrix viewing. That's pure physicality. That's a bad view. You know, like go to a football game and a basketball sporting event, and they put the prime seats and they charge more for them, right? Because it's a better what? Better view. And then way back up in the bleachers somewhere are the $10 seats. Well, I guess I haven't been to a game in a long time. Probably those are the $30 seats up there. The $500 seats are out front. These are the, when you're looking at things just on the basis of the matrix of what's there, physicality, that's the worst view in the stadium or in the arena. Because what you think you see, you don't see. What's here is the limited sphere. We have a verb here, eberesin. It's in the indicative mood. Brother Deacon, you got I know you got your Greek lexicon, right? That Greek word appointed or assigned there. That verb there. What is it? It's an aorist indicative. Third person. Which means that somebody else is doing it. That Greek verb is translated appointed or assigned. In other words, the limited sphere of what you see was a sign when was it a sign? In eternity. We were explaining, and hopefully we, those of you that you can come to perfecting class, we're going to really lay this out. You got the whole parameter of time from beginning to end laid out in eternity. No sequences, but it is sequenced for the purpose of revealing it to us. So from day one in Genesis until the last day in Revelation. But it's all one unit. That's your matrix. And everything is in there. It's divided up into years. It's divided up into months. At first, it's divided up into millennia, and then into century, and then into scores, and then into decades, and then into years. then into months, and then into weeks, then into days, and then into hours, to seconds, to moments, right down to the nanosecond. But it's all one unit. It's there. Mother Goodloe had it right. She said she was about to have an operation, and I said, "Mother, you're so calm." She said, "Pastor, didn't you teach us it's already done?" I said, "Yep." She said, "Why should I be laying here worried about something that's already done? It's there. It's already there. It's been there. Your tomorrow is there. Your next week or next year is there." And so time does not move. Time is a creation. Time is part of the graph in years, just like they do on when they do a graph and they have a year, this year, that year, and then they have something else going on there to show some correlation between what is happening. That's exactly what's happening in the matrix. It was a sign. There's no difference between AD 50 and 2050. Pastor, you're crazy. No, it's all there from the beginning.
Right.
We went through Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. The things were prepared. That's in the aorist tense also. Mm-hmm. Having been prepared, mm-hmm. How were they prepared? How were things placed? How did things come into being?
By the saying.
God said it. And he didn't just start saying it in, as we read in Genesis. He said it in eternity. And that's when it came to the pass. Genesis chapter 1 is about manifestation, not creation, not really. The only statement that deals with creation in Genesis is 1 and 1. The rest of it is manifestation. So that the thing that is in that matrix, the thing that see, it's not coming out of things appearing. So what's in that matrix is the reflection. It is the manifestation. It is the testimony of the same.
Yes.
And the only thing that's moving through that matrix is conscious. Everybody say conscious. And wherever God places your conscious and putting it in and taking it out. Oh, some people are going to think I'm crazy Friday when I'm ministering to this funeral. But hey, we're putting it out there. We're not going to be different about coming out. We're not hesitating. We're not worried about who think we're crazy. At some point, around 2 or 3 years old, and some children are more cautious than others, your conscious is aware as you move through the matrix. At some point in life, whether it's 40, some people just live a few seconds.
That's it.
Some people only live a few hours, a few days, weeks. Toddlers pass, dying. We say, oh, isn't that awful? And from my vantage point, it is. But God purposed to put him in the matrix and take him out of the matrix. And some he allowed to live. Like I said, the person we are going to memorialize Friday is 92 years old. So he put you in the matrix and takes you out. And everything that you go through there is a sign to you.
Amen.
Who you're born to. Who you meet, who you marry.
That's right.
Who you marry and get divorced from.
That's right.
Oh.
Everything.
Unless you're willing to call that child that came out of that a mistake. I don't think any of us will. Huh?
Amen.
But just because we can't see what's going on.
That's it. Come on here.
Hallelujah. We said this doesn't make sense. Oh, it makes sense. It just doesn't make sense to us. But just because it doesn't make sense to us doesn't mean it doesn't make sense. God has a purpose. fall from a tree in the forest, and even if nobody saw it, it doesn't matter. It's about God's purpose.
Yes, yes.
Oh, y'all don't hear me this morning.
I hear you. Amen.
You don't understand that. Things will mess you up in life. You live that woulda, shoulda, coulda game. If I had done this, that would have happened. No. You done. You come up to the corner and you say, I go left or right? You say, well, I go left. You go two blocks. Somebody come through the interstation to go, boom, boy, if I had gone right, dude. No, you, there's only one way you could have turned.
I hear you.
Then we just got to read it. It was a sign in the aorist tense. Having been a sign. When was it a sign? In eternity. So don't play that woulda, shoulda, unless you want to walk around frustrated. Unless you want to walk around in the days of confused.
Lord.
You know how the kid said, oh, that thing's all messed up. No, it's not.
Glory.
Every star
that
collides with body out in cosmos.
Mm-hmm. Everyone.
Yes. And there's a collision.
And
you have the supernova. It explodes. It dies. It's according to God's purpose.
I hear you.
God.
God didn't make the universe without actualizing everything about his word that went in it. Colossians 1:16, what it states again? Again, it says, all things were created what?
In him.
Not by him. It's Epsilon Ni. Look at that Greek word. Epsilon Ni. In. When you say by, you're thinking about something that's remote. In him. In him. Through him. For him. Your life is not even about you. Your life is about Christ. He is our life. He is our life. And they won't preach that in many ministries because they figure people don't want to hear that. I came here to hear how I'm going to better my life.
Yeah.
What, this is what we're trying to tell you.
Yeah.
Your life is not about you. That's the first lesson you got to learn in order to better it.
Jesus.
You better your life by focusing on Christ rather than you.
I hear you.
Yes.
Everybody says, this thing is not about me. It's all about him. That's what the scriptures are teaching us. So, well, if I had done this, then the other. We were talking this morning. The woman was giving the example. The man this week that went into the beauty shop and shot the place up and so forth and so on. And said, did he have a better day than the person that walked into a church and, quote, gave his life to God?
Mm-hmm.
Well, from my end, he did.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
From eternity, both men are the praise.
Both.
And the only difference between the shooter and the prayer is that in the case of the shooter, God didn't check his depravity. In the case of the prayer, God overrules his depravity and calls him to communicate. But why it was in the shooter is in the prayer. Don't you ever walk around here talking about what you won't do.
That's it. I hear you.
You better thank God if you didn't do it that he checked your depravity.
That's right, Pastor.
No, you probably won't kill anyone, but don't give yourself credit for it. You won't do it because God won't let you. Oh, my God. Now, the second part of this. Oh, look at that clock. We're going to run a little over this morning. But there's some out there waiting on you. You better get this. The bottom there we have what we call scripture viewing. Everybody says scripture viewing. Perhaps for those that are watching, you can view this on your screen. Scripture viewing. And here it speaks of the end of how God manifests things. Speaking to the end that the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ in his times, the times belong to God. Yeah. Time is a creation.
Sure is.
He is the only potentate, and he's the king of the reigning kings, so-called small k kings, and he is the lord of the so-called small letter lords. And he is the only one that there's no death in.
That's right. That's right.
And then it says possessing light. So manifestation is about light. Here's what the matrix is about. The matrix is about testimony, depiction, reflection. You go into the mirror. You look into the mirror. I'm just using an analogy. And what's in that mirror is not the real deal. We're looking into the matrix, which is the mirror, and we're calling that the real deal. When you look into that mirror and something is out of whack and you need to change it, do you reach in the mirror to do it?
No.
No. Because what's in the mirror?
Reflection.
Just light. That's all that's in the mirror. If you were in a, if it was nighttime and you're looking in the mirror, and all of a sudden, you flip out all the lights. When the light is gone, what? Everything in the mirror is gone. God is light. And he conveys everything through light. That deals with creatures, whether that deals with things, that deals with occurrences and events.
Yes,
we think that we plan our lives. You don't plan your life.
That's it. Oh.
Hebrews 1 and 3, he created the ages.
Yes.
Creating the ages means he created everything that happens within the ages.
I hear you.
I know they have taught us that our destiny is in our hands. No, it's not.
Oh, yeah.
I thank God my destiny is not in my hand.
Oh,
now just think. If you think of yourself as being remote from God, do you know what you're actually saying? You are not just in your household remote from God. You're not just in your city remote from God. You're not just in your state remote from God. You're not just on the earth remote from God. You're not just in the solar system remote from God. You're not just in the Milky Way remote from God. You are in the universe remote from God. If you're remote from God.
That's it. Yes.
To say that you're remote from God. No.
No.
Another place Paul writes, he said, none of us live to ourselves. And none of us die to ourselves. And of course, the philosophizing ministers have taught, and they brought in the port that says, no man is an island, and that. That's not what Paul was saying. He was saying, basically, your life is not about you. Your life is not about yourself. Your death is not about yourself.
It's not.
When he puts you in the matrix, it's not about you. Nope. When he takes you out, while you're going through the matrix, it's not about you. And when he takes you out of the matrix, it's not about you.
Nope.
So they say, so whether we live or whether we die, whether we live, we belong to the Lord. Whether we die, we belong to the Lord. So whether we live or whether we die, what? We belong to the Lord. It's all about him. And that starts with salvation. We've been taught that our eternal destiny is in our hand. And that's not what the scripture teaches. And what you're going to do with Ephesians 1 and 4. And that's for all who are watching. Ephesians 1 and 4. According as he chose us in him when?
Before
the foundation of the world. Before the creation of the world. So God chose you, and salvation is really about your eternal relationship with God. So God established your relationship with him as belonging to him before time. 2 Timothy 1 and 9. What comes before time?
Eternity.
So that's why I would never stand and say, well, this person didn't go to church, so they're not saved. This person didn't do this. This person never got baptized. This person never did. And I know we into some treacherous waters now, but hey, come on with it. Don't you ever put yourself in a position of assessing who belongs to God. Now you know you belong to God because the Spirit of God has done what? It has revealed it to you. I believe you're saved because you say you. I know I'm saved. Because the Spirit of God has revealed it to me. And had nothing to do with me before I got here. I'm just like Jacob before I did either good or bad. God chose me. Romans chapter 9, for those that are watching.
Right. That's right.
And Jacob was worse than Esau.
It was.
Because the name Jacob means deceiver. Yeah, Jacob was worse than Esau. And then he came back to Esau. When Jacob came back to Esau to reconcile with them, he didn't know how that thing was going to be. Now, most men would put themselves in front and shield their family. He put his family in front. So now, if he killed me, he'll go to all these people before he gets to me. He was such a rascal, God said, I'm changing your name. But he still belonged to God. Isn't God great? Give him a hand praise. Hallelujah. Oh, we're going to get it right. We're not going to bend the truth in order to get along with anyone. All right, but a few minutes we got remaining. Let's go into your glossary of definitions. At the top, actualization means to generate realness, reality, produce into action, or provide functionality. Let's go to the bottom of the page. Manifestation, outward perception, perceptible indication of revelation or materiality of those things that are materialized. Let's look in the next, at the next to the bottom, Right above manifestation, we have matrix. Everybody say matrix. Visual representation, an indication in grids and our patterns of measurements for testimonial documentation. So why am I going through all of this in life for God's purpose? A testimony. Why would God do all that? Now you're going to tell the creator what to do. Let's right quickly go to page 5. I'm going to read a couple of paragraphs here. Do a couple of explication, and then we're down. Part 1. You got that? Page 5. One of the scriptures' purpose and functionality of measures. What is God's purpose in the things that are functioning in the world? I just rephrased that. Essentially, the originating or beginning recognition or condition regarding what's going on, that is, regarding the physical, secular life, ambiguities. So what's going on concerning the things that you don't understand reside in understanding that all of it was actualized in God's decree. What's in the matrix is nothing but manifestations or reflections of what really is, and what really is what God decreed or God said in the beginning. Let me walk through that slowly. In the beginning, Genesis, God said, let there be, and there was. And that's where we think it started. No. That's light on this earth. A whole lot went on prior to that. Remember, even if you read Genesis, it said, and the earth was void. It was already there. But let's back up. Let's back up to the essence of the first manifested thing. You know what that would be? What occurred? The first thing in the matrix. No, darkness is just, it's nothing. Light. 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 So the first thing that goes, happens, is light. Revelation. What was the first thing that revealed? Well, you have to go back a little further than Genesis, and you're out of the book then. I mean, the devil was created before Adam. Did you know that? The ageless one. The angels. Before Adam. Adam was the late kid on the block. So what we're saying here is that the first thing that's going to sell you down is to know that whatever is in that matrix, it started with God's creation of calling it into being through his word. And whatever happened in Eden was already in God's word. God didn't go away, and while he was away, the devil showed up, and then God comes back and things all messed up. That's the way what they taught us. If Adam just hadn't eaten that fruit, we wouldn't be going through all of this. Don't Don't you think God could have checked Adam's depravity? Why didn't he do it then? Same reason he doesn't check my depravity and your depravity. At times. Most of the time he does. Because we've been in here a few hours. By now we've all have killed each other. And say, Pastor, you are crazy. No, I'm not. Depravity is about destruction. And the only reason I'm going to destroy myself is God won't let me. And that's why I don't get all worried and upset and a lot of things. And they said, oh, you're always talking about, you know, God's decree, God's will and so forth. Because that's the deal. Because you can't do anything about anything. Why can't you do anything about anything? Because it's already there. It's already set. Whatever it is, it already is. No use to me reaching to the mirror trying to straighten my tie. You understand? I'm just giving an analogy here. Look at this. Again, essentially the originating recognition or condition regarding physical, secular life ambiguities. Those are the things that we have no idea what's going on. The recognition of them is that we understand that all of them were actualized in God's decree. Which means that God has control. Everything. On not just some things.
No.
Everything. This is the great scriptures view. Everybody says the great scriptures view. In spite of the seemingly rampant. Use the word rampant there. You know, that is something that's we count to be fortified, institutionalized. Don't you go crazy about what's going on Wall Street. The diversions of things exhibiting out of control in the stream of day-to-day occurrences. I mean, we're getting it from everywhere, aren't we getting it? From the economy, we're getting it ecologically, you know, we're getting it from the storms and, you know, the climate. And pestilence, you're getting it from pandemics, diseases, everywhere. Everything that we thought was stable is seemingly exhibiting out of control. But nothing happens unless God has decreed it. And everything he does is for purpose. See, here's our problem as I close. Our problem is we prioritize time. We prioritize what's in the matrix. We think what's in the mirror is the real deal. God prioritizes eternal. Eternity. Eternality is where everything really resides. Where everything is actually in place. Everything resides in eternity. I finished this paragraph. I guess we won't get to the next one. Comprehension of this actuality exudes the sole stabilizing factor of scrutinizing life in any semblance of God's design depictions, sequence in order to ultimately express this is where God is going with what he's going. His majesty in unconditional and unlimited love, graciousness, power, and above all, his wisdom. God is showing us who he is. The way he picked the hard way of doing it. No. That's the way our mind thinks. He does this in declarative evidence of the sole reliable disposition in spirituality. The grace covenant definitive revealed time. And this is why we have done this morning. We've gone to the grace covenant. It definitively revealed time occurrences manifested in particular points. That's what we're doing. We're showing you the essence of this thing going, and all of the confusion is controlled, is design confusion. things that seem rampant. That means out of control. It's designed not something that happened on the scene. Like we think of God coming back into the Garden of Eden and saying, Adam, where are you? What have you done? In other words, if something happens, we go, whoo. And we thank God, whoo. Adam, what have you done? You messed up what you do. So we give him credit for being a creator, but not a planner. Not a designer. Sometimes occurrences manifest in particular points. Intentions of such are to divulge testimony excerpts of all eternal subjections in a devised realm wherein God not only purposed, but also accomplished everything in his decree according to his sovereign will. Remember, while things in the mirror look out of control, the essence of things reside in eternality. So things are not in time, they're in eternity. Last sentence. These glorious communications engage the pledges of the heavenly view, especially in simulation of what humans misconstrue in their particular distortions of truth when they are assessing or looking at things strictly in time-space parameters. So it's about what we know of him through his word than what we think we see of him in the matrix. Yes. So our trust and our confidence is in his word. There's a song the saints used to sing, Look and Live. Look and live. Everybody say, Look and Live. Look and live. Look and live. It's recorded in his word. Look and live. The essence of life. Amen. It's not about what's going on. They used to sing another song. He's sweet, I know. Yes. He's sweet, I know. Yes. Strong winds. Storm clouds may rise. Yes. Strong winds may blow. But I tell the world. Wherever I go, I've found a Savior. He's sweet. Can you say he's sweet? Can you say he's sweet? Oh, do you really know it? God bless you.